Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With
my friends at
the old country church.
Where did they promise to be here? Yeah, in fact, actually, they really said more that had promised me they was going to be here today, that ain't here.
All right. You're
lying. Yeah, I know. It's all right.
People ain't keeping their word.
I ain't hiding nothing from nobody. Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we open your word, Father, we're seeking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us guidance, Father, and take us into the truth and the depth of this your word. To help us, Father, with our knowledge and wisdom so that we can walk close in the Lord Jesus Christ and he in us. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this day. And we ask all of this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. This morning is a message that the Lord's been giving me over the last 3 days. And it's a little different than the way I usually teach, because I usually take it book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Well, that's not quite the way that he gave me this. But the title he gave me is The Day in Which We Live. And I'm going to be starting, when I get into the scripture, I'm going to be starting with Luke 17 and verse 20 to get things started out. Because we are living in the very last days of time. Do you know, in the Gospel of Luke, the Lord's disciples and all we're asking him about his coming back and when things is going to happen. But before he comes back to establish his thousand-year millennial reign, and I firmly believe from all you can find in the scripture, our next event that's going to be happening spiritually is his coming for the church. And I don't believe we've got much time. And our land right now is growing worse day by day. They're working now on a setup that would actually bring in the mark, and it's being worked on right now. Think about this. It's not going to be too awful long. We don't know how long, because naturally only the Lord God knows that. He's the only one who knows. But he has told us to watch and to know that it's close, even at hand. But we have so much evil in our land right now that really mankind here in the United States is worse than Sodom and Gomorrah was. It's hard to get people to understand that. And then on top of that, the evil that even our government has brought upon our people, very few today has any shame of the evil. Not ashamed of anything today here in our land. Now, what do you mean? Well, just look around. It's not hard to see and understand. We got thousands on thousands out here into homosexuality. Are they ashamed of it? No, sir. They get out here and form parades, carry signs, wanting everybody to know that they're into it. Abortion, killing our babies, is the same thing, same way. And both have gotten in to the churches. Our churches today are accepting it. Homosexuality into most of our churches today, their belief is it's just another lifestyle. Nothing wrong with it. It's just a different lifestyle. They're not against abortion. If they had been, we wouldn't be having it today. But think about a nation that has killed 64 million babies. And that's what our land has done. Now that's what they'll admit to. We don't know how many more that has been actually gotten rid of that's not counted even. Adultery is running rampant. They're not ashamed of that either. You see it everywhere. where people out here has got four and five different spouses. Fornication, they're not ashamed of it. Are unmarried couples living together with their sexual sin? They broadcast it to everybody. They want everybody to know. We've moved in together. We're living together. And you see, that's what caused God to burn Sodom and Gomorrah. Because they had got to the point, it wasn't the sin as much as it was, they had no shame of their sin. And that's where we are today. It's not just the sin, but we've got no shame of it. All right. So we're going to get into scripture here. You know, starting it right here in verse 20 of Luke 17, says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Think about this. We are living in a day and time. We don't have to ask, when is the kingdom of God coming? Because we've just been told right there that it's within us. Those that are born again children of Almighty God, we are already in God's kingdom because it's in us. That's why we can't live our sinful lives like we used to live. I heard a man preaching this morning that I've heard preach, oh, I don't know, several times. And I never thought he'd ever preached what he was preaching this morning. I thought he was really a man of God until this morning.
Who was it?
Creflo Dollar.
Yeah. What he said?
Preaching about how you're going to sin all the time you're here on this earth. And a lot of it won't even be counted against you because you're the righteousness of God. So therefore, you can't lose nothing. That's not what the word says here.
First John and Hebrews won't say that.
Oh, Hebrews is hard. He comes right to the point with Hebrews.
First John, he put the Hebrews.
Yeah, First John too. The Hebrews tells you exactly what will happen once you are born again and you commit sin. He lets you know you're gone. A lot of people don't understand these things because they read it and they don't pay attention to what it is saying, and they take it out of context to fit the way they think, the way they believe, instead of what the word says.
Yeah, it's preachers like that that do more damage. Actually, I think they do more damage than just regular unbelievers. Because
oh, yes, because they're teaching it. And, you know, I'm going to go here just for a minute and share something with you. Since I mentioned that, him preaching about that this morning. Let's take a look at the 10th chapter of Hebrews. See what it tells us about that willful sin. Now, but before we get into that part of it, I got another little verse for you. Because you see, he was also telling you this morning on, this is on TV, so it's going everywhere, that there's none perfect, no, not one. That you don't walk in perfection. What does God's word tell you? Let's look at verse 14. Well, let's go to 13. Let's keep it here in the setting. It says, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. They ain't no might there. They ain't no maybe. He said they are. He has done it. Then you got a man standing and telling you, nobody's perfect, no. He's calling God a liar. 15, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. You can't get any plainer than that, hardly. Until we get over here now to verse 25. In verse 25, he's telling us, says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. You don't get no plainer. Once you know something is sin, and you are a born-again child of God, you better not do it. Because you do, he's going on to tell you what's going to happen. But a certain, verse 26, yeah, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth, there remains no more sacrifice of sin. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. That's what will happen. Once you have been born again, and then you know something is a sin, and you go ahead and willingly do it, you've got no more sacrifice for that sin. No way of getting forgiveness for it. God's word, not mine. That's his. I just read it to you. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore or more punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, has counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified and unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You see, it's all in God's Word. But it's using faith to stand and believe in the Word. And it takes two things. It takes love and faith. Because faith won't work without love, and love don't work without faith. It takes both working together. Now, as we come back here to our scripture here, we find out that the kingdom of God is within you and I. It's already here. We're not waiting on it to come. It came on the day of Pentecost in that upper room when the Holy Spirit was sent back to dwell with mankind. It all took place then. 22, and he said unto the disciples, the day will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. Think about that. Because you see, Jesus here, he's teaching his disciples that they are not to be deceived, even though days are coming when they're going to be looking for and longing for the coming of Christ. And yet, it hadn't happened. And just like today, let me tell you something. Anyone that is truly a born-again child of God today better be not only looking to go to be with him, but longing to go to be with him. Because this is not my home. And if you're a born-again child of God, it's not your home either. We're strangers. We're passing through. And we're supposed to be preparing to go home. And we need to be yearning to go. Yes. And looking forward to the time that I'll go. Now, I want to stay here as long as God wants me here for his purpose. But when he is done with me here, then Lord, bring me home. You don't find many living that way, do you? Today, no. Because they're living selfishly. Everything's got to be me. Me and I. And I want this and I want that. And you know, I believe this and I believe that. That's like they'll tell me, oh, that's your interpretation. No, because you see, there again, we're not supposed to be interpreting God's Word. Oh, now that ain't so. You've got to interpret that Word to see what it's saying. Oh, you do? Well, let's take a look at 2 Peter. Second Peter, chapter 1, And let's start here with verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. We're not to interpret it. The Holy Spirit has gave us the word of Almighty God. Stand on it. I can't take it and make it just say whatever I want it to say. And that's what most are doing today. Just make it say any old thing. It don't matter. Oh, yes, but it does. And it can cost you your soul. It can cost you to spend eternity in hell and in that lake of fire. Now, verse 23, and they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. When mankind is trying to give you something that is not the word of God, don't follow them. Don't fall in with them. That's why I keep telling people that I talk with, whether here in church or wherever, don't get mixed up and jump from church to church. His word tells us, says, don't go to and fro. He's telling us, don't do it. Because what it does, it keeps you mixed up. It gets you confused. Because when you are, as the old saying, go to church, jumping, none of them teach you like. And all it's going to cause is confusion. This one over here is telling you one thing, this is telling you something else. You go over here, he's telling you something different. And when you're done, you've got no idea what the truth is. That's Satan at work. It's exactly what it is. And that's like I tell a lot of them, look, I'm not telling you to come to my church. You're welcome if you want to come. But if you do come, you're going to get his word like it's wrote. You ain't going to get what I think or what I might believe. I'm going to give you what his word says. But get into a church that you think is good or that you believe and stay there. Don't jump around because you get in trouble. Now, 24, for as the lightning that shineth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. You know, when Christ does return in all of his glory, that's not going to be hidden. That will not be hidden. It will be an unmistakable event. There's not going to be no denial. He says every eye will see it. Well, we used to wonder, well, how could that be? But now, through technology and all, we know that wouldn't be hard to do at all. Not in this day and time. But he tells us, that that's the way it'll be. But first, must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And look what has happened. We know his coming is soon. We don't know when and how close it really is. But he's letting you and I know how things are to be. And he is to be rejected. What has our land done? They took his name out of every place. The name of Jesus cannot be used in our schools. They can't be used in our government office buildings and offices. They even took the Ten Commandments out of the courthouses. Ten Commandments used to be in all the courthouses. Now they're not allowed in them. In our capital, there in Washington, they took the name of Jesus and the name God off of every building, government building, except for one. And the only reason they couldn't take it, they can't get to it because it's on top of it and they can't get up there. But they took it off of everything. And they took the name of Jesus away from our military chaplains. They're not allowed to end their prayer in Jesus' name no more. They'd be court-martialed. That day and time is getting close to where you and I are going to have to make a decision on whether we are going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ or follow Satan. And if we choose to follow Jesus, it will mean imprisonment and death. That's not as far away as what we think. And let me tell you something. For you to choose rightly, you better be standing strong. Because if you ain't, you're going to make the wrong choice. When it comes down to man really facing death, he may think he's got a lot of strength and a lot of nerve, but it may not work that way. I went overseas with a whole bunch of men that didn't believe in God. They were atheists, they said, all the way over on the boat. Did you? No, don't believe in it. We'd go into Japan, got combat equipment, went from there on into Korea, hit that beach. And that first bullet that went by his ear, he went to holler, "Oh, Lord, help me. Lord, keep me." You see, he wasn't much atheist, he thought. I've never seen a true one that actually really would hold to that. Because when you really face death, that's when you know how strong you are. And I'm sure glad he was with me. Now, he's also warned us again here. He says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man." How much different are things today here in our land than it was in Noah's day? Not much. Not much. We got a few more men out here standing right now strong. And we need to be praying for them that they'll continue to stand that way. We all need each other's prayer. And that's the thing about the church. We are supposed to be a family. And actually, we're told in God's word, we're supposed to be even closer than our blood family. But what you got in their churches today? They don't even want to talk to each other in the church.
Talk to you in the grocery store. They won't talk to you in the grocery store.
No. But, you know, yet they're supposed to be, we're supposed to be closer than our blood family. And we're supposed to be praying with each other and for each other. So you're not going to find much of that going on. Now, what was they doing in the days of Noah that we're doing today? Well, let's just see, because he tells us here, verse 27. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And what are they doing today? Same thing, getting out here, just getting into all kinds of stuff. Marrying, given in marriage. Drinking, everything else they can think of.
Keep going back to where was it Abraham was talking to God about, was it Sodom, right? He got him down to 10 righteous people, I think, right?
Uh-huh. Couldn't even find that.
God didn't talk to him no more.
Well, couldn't find him. Couldn't find 10.
We're almost there. I mean, we're not there yet, but we're getting there.
No, and we know that right now, and the reason that we need to get stronger, and especially in the church, is because we're going to see a revival like we have never seen. And we've had a few good ones. I've got the series of movies. There's 4 movies made about the one subject, In His Steps. Now, you're talking about a movie. It'll make you think. But there's 4 different movies made for the same thing there. Covered quite a few years. And that did start here in our land. It did happen. And it was started by one man, a beggar. And most living today know nothing about that revival. Because they wasn't living back then, I would, if they would. But there's books on it and everything else. And this beggar had went to the preacher's house to see if that preacher had any work that he could do so he could give him a meal. The preacher told him he didn't have time. He didn't have time. So that Sunday, preacher gets to church. This man comes to that church too. He went there. He wasn't a member there, but he went that day. And during the service, The man stood up and let the church know what had happened, that he had been there to talk to the preacher about some work so he could get something to eat because he was homeless, and what the preacher had said. And at the end of his talk, he pitched forward into the communion table dead. He died right there. And that preacher really got worked up. And he found out about he had a daughter, and he got a hold of her. The preacher got up the next Sunday and asked his congregation, how many would follow him and join with him for 1 year? Never to answer a question until they first asked, what would Jesus do? And then keep that regardless of what it costs. This preacher had the most elite church in town. He had all of the business people and everything in his church. He had millionaires and all in there. He got several that agreed to join him. Well, they got going along. Some of them, it cost them their $1 million to keep that. But that revival started, and it cost this whole country. Started by one man asking a simple question and then falling dead. But thank God that preacher changed his life, got right with God, and done the right thing. And like I said, there's movies about it, and there's books wrote about it, and all. But it really happened. We need to get back to the days and time to where things in the community happen at the church. And that's where I'm planning on taking this ministry, as I've told you all before. Whether it'll be here or not, I don't know. Because like I said, I've got to get the agreement of the one that owns this. And what she'll do, I don't know. But I will know tonight. I'm not too sure what time tonight, whether it'll be before church tonight or after. But she sent me word to call her this evening. She's at work this morning. And I'm hoping the other two are here, so they can be with me when I talk to her. I'd like for it to be here. This church is needed in this community. Dennis, you know that as well as I do. Most of the people live down this road and off of this road don't go to church nowhere. I know that because I've been to all of them's place. Hand out flowers. In fact, I've been all the way through this road doing it. One day, put out 85 handbills. I've had them pull in right out front when I'd pull in out there They'd pull in out there and they'd tell me, "You open now?" "Yeah." "Well, we're going to be coming seeing you." None of them has ever showed up. From this community, the only one that's ever been here has been Dennis. But I'd like for this to be the place, but I don't know until I talk to the owner. Because I cannot and will not put God's money at risk for nothing. Unless I can get a lease on the church for at least 5 years, I'm not going to put his money in this property. But we want to blacktop the parking area front, down this side, all the way to the back of the church. I want to see an addition put on that side over here. I want to see things done on this side over here for outdoors so we can have outdoor services and dinner on the ground like we used to have. There's a lot of work to be done here on the building, inside. And by being in that kind of business at one time, I know that I'm looking probably close to $75,000 of God's money to be put into this place. I'm not going to put it in there without a lease. Because I'm not going to put that kind of money in this place and then be told 3 or 4 days later, "You've got to go because we're going to sell it." No. We're supposed to be stewards of God's money. But I am to meet the owner tonight. I would love for the owner to be here for services because the owner has got no idea what is coming out of this church, got no idea what I preach. And I do wish they'd know. And they should. Uh-huh. And they should know it. And she sure ain't got nowhere to go. All she got to do is walk across the yard. But she's at work this morning. And she told Sue to tell me, and Sue gave me her phone number to call her this evening. So I'm hoping Sue and Dave is with me this evening when I talk to her. Because they are for it. But what she'll do, I have no idea. But you see, these are things that need to be done today in all of our churches. And we need to see our churches tearing down these walls and coming together. All of us getting together and teaching the same thing. And that being God's word. Get rid of these walls. They don't call them walls, they call them denominations. But get rid of them. You know, we only find one thing to teach in this Bible. And he tells you. And he told me, he tells me in his words right here, tells you. If we come preaching anything else, we're cursed. He told us to preach the apostles' doctrine. That's this. That's what this is. This is the apostles' doctrine. Those ones wrote it. Well, those ones recorded it. The Holy Spirit wrote it. We're told everything we need. And yet, man just don't want to listen. But we were told there in verse 27 about what they were doing. and how they were doing it up until the flood came and destroyed them all. Well, we know that most of mankind is going to continue on doing the things he's doing right now until the Lord comes for his church. And then they're going to be lost. The ones that are left back here that's not ready is going to be lost. They're going to find their seat in hell. And what does Revelation tell them then they're going to find? That hell, Satan and his demons, and all will be cast into the lake of fire. And no way ever out. Think what pain that will be. What pain that will be. We've all burned ourselves at times, and I know in the kitchen. Just a small place even. We know how that felt. That didn't feel good, did it? Think about your whole being in a lake of fire. I don't want it, but I can only speak for me. Now, 28, and then I'm going to close. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they built. Just exactly what we're doing today, ain't it? And that's what we're paying more attention to than paying attention to God and his word. The church, I want to see this church grow. I want to see all of us that are here grow. I want to see us at work out here in God's work, spreading the gospel and helping everybody we can and help to lead them out of darkness and into light, and that light being Jesus. Making this place a place where mankind can come and know when he comes through that door that he's in a house of God. That's what I want. And I'm going to need all the help I can get. But will all stay with me? I don't know. I meet a lot of people out here that I know ain't going to walk through that door. Because they already, that man just ain't right. He ain't right. Yeah. Talk about me all the time. That's fine. I don't care. I'm not here to please man. I'm here to please the good Lord. And so is Mr. Kenny Powers, and so is Dennis. We're here to please God. And you too, James. We're supposed to be here to please the good Lord. Now, I know that Dennis has got to work today. Oh, you don't? Well, you'll be back tonight then. Well, good. Maybe we can all be together tonight, and maybe we can get her here. And all of you be present when this is all talked out. All right, let us pray. Well, one more thing before I have closing prayer. Going to be helping a lady with her doctor bill. It's going to cost the church $300. But she has said that she would pay it back, but she'll have to give it back just so much a month. Well, she's been helped before, and she did then. But whether she does or not, she still needs the help. And I wanted you all to know that. I try to keep everything above board and open. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come to share your word and to be supportive to each other, to show our love as family, Father. But Father, most of all, that we show our love for you and our love for the Lord Jesus Christ and our love for the Holy Spirit and our love for your word and our love in teaching and helping to spread your word, Father, and for the saints, wherever they are in the world. We ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and to see to their needs. And Father, Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for them and that, for them to have peace. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. In this land of ours, Father, help us to reach out to this land so that we can find different ways, Father, to bring the gospel to our land, to those that are walking in darkness, to help them, Father, come to light, and that light being Jesus. In our prayer list, Father, as each name is called, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to touch that one, to fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be physical, spiritual, or financial. Father, Kenny Powers, James Taylor, Dennis, myself, for Mark Pavlik, for Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, for Terry Coates, for Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, for the brothers in Christ, Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church, and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, and Father, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie. Father, I lift him up. You know what is needed there. We put them in your hands, Father. That little full gospel church of God there at Akron. Make these churches, Father, lighthouses. But even more than that, Father, make them places of refuge to where the lost, walking in darkness, can go and find help and find the light, that light being Jesus. For my three friends in Pakistan, Pastor Arun Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, be with these three. Keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jimmy Embry, Sharon Monville and her mother, for Sue and for David, for Kelly Smith and his wife, Palance Goodman. Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch. Touch them in a great and mighty way. Bring about the healing that they need, Father. And we ask all of this In that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. Ah. You're going to make it back tonight? Don't sit there and shake your head no at me. Why ain't you coming back tonight? What? Now, what appointment's more important than an appointment with the Lord? Now, James? I got to pick on you. You know that. Don't tell me you're going back to E-Town.
No. All right. Well, we'll see you back here tonight.
Oh. Yeah, Dennis can even be with us tonight. Yeah. And I'm going by and see Sue and Dave again.
Oh, come on.
I am.
They don't keep their word. Don't be part.
Well, I'm still going to go over to aggravate
them. Shame on me, anyway.
Yep. Going to aggravate them. And they know I will.
All right, James, good to see you. Oh, me too. Hey, you got my shoes in your car?
Yeah. And the unpackaged too.
Okay.
That was a small package. They put that in the mail.
They're just the rubber mesh, but they break apart. That hole in my foot, that rubber piece, I'll tear it out.
They're just an igno. It's on top
they're
of the
box. They're just this thin. They're rubber insole. What is it? They're like pieces to puzzle, and you can take a piece out. So, I'm going to